in Virginia.
There's some people on the board.
Very good.
Stretch down the road.
Now, 7 o'clock, we'll be calling the Fluvanna County Planning Commission regular meeting to order at this time. Our first business is the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The next item on the agenda is the Director's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have just a few items to report. The Board of Supervisors, at their August 17th meeting, approved ZMP 1601 Nahor Village Amendment. They also approved ZTA 1602, the amendment to the subdivision ordinance in regards to the fees for county projects. And also, SUP 1607 Sycamore Square amendment for assisted living facility was also approved. And SUP 1606 Silver Linings Flowers LLC, and SUP for a commercial greenhouse was also approved. And that's all the actions I have to report.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? If not, the next item is our first of two public comment sections for the night. These public comments are for other items other than the public hearings that are scheduled for the night. Anyone will be able to make comments at the public hearing when we open the public hearing for that. If you're here for those, make your comments about those at that time. So anyone wishing to come forward to make any public comments about any other item except for the items on the agenda tonight, please come forward, state your name, your address,
Good evening. My name is Ken Barr from 2969 Richmond Road. And I'd like to comment briefly on the water line that's coming through. I got the certified letters that they're going to do surveys for the water line. And we just built a building there and had plenty of water readily accessible. I drilled a well, and we deliberately took 1,000 gallons out of it to fill the septic tanks to test them out. Worked perfectly. So I'm a little concerned that we're spending millions of dollars on this water line that's getting ready to come through. It can only be for one of two things. It could either be for a really high density residential or business. And the feeling I've gotten from Fluvanna County is that the residents are against business. They don't want business. So I don't know why we're spending the money on the water line. And I'm not talking about the James River water line that everyone has been talking about on the news. I'm pretty much talking about the one that's going to pull water from the DOC and take it over to Zion Crossroads. So that one I don't understand, because that stretch of road is all residential, and the people there don't want business, and we don't need more water unless we're going to increase density over there.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Anyone else wishing to come forward to speak about any other item than the items that are on the agenda for tonight, please come forward, state your name and address, and you will be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one coming forward, the next item is actually minutes, but we've had a little bit of problem with the transcribing of the minutes, so they won't be available until our next meeting.
We'll have those for the September meeting.
So we will move on for our public hearings. The first item on the agenda is ZMP 1604, Foster Fuels Rezoning.
Thank you. Good evening, Commissioners. This is a request to rezone approximately 14.77 acres of tax map 4A99 from I1 Industrial Limited to I2 Industrial General. This parcel is located within the Zion Community Planning Area. This is an aerial view of the site as well as the surrounding zoning. This photography is a little bit out of date. There is a structure just around this location. It is surrounded by A1, B1, and I1 zone parcels. The reason for this rezoning is for the next public hearing, which is special use permit number 1608, which is for a 30,000-gallon propane tank as well as a storage area. In order for that SUP to be able to be heard, they need a rezoning first to I-2, which allows the use of a petroleum distribution facility via a special use permit. There is currently some site plan compliance issues with the site, including the landscaping and the location of storage yards. There are no proffers associated with this rezoning. Any proffers must be completely voluntary. There were proffers that were associated with the earlier I-1 rezoning. As we said, this is an infinite growth area, and there's a mix of various zoned properties around the site. Conclusion, they wish to go from I-1 to I-2. This is within a growth area, and doing this would allow for the application of Special Use Permit 1608 for a petroleum distribution facility. Issues to consider include an increase in traffic, as well as road access to the site, and while the area is residential, again, this is within a growth area of the county. I have a motion, both the applicant and the landowner available to answer any questions the public or the commission may have.
They are not in compliance with the present zoning?
Yes, sir. A temporary certificate of occupancy was given to them, I believe back in June. However, there were issues again with landscaping, and the owner of the property has told us or given us the reasons why he's not able to comply. I found that to be a satisfactory answer, but as it is, the CO has not been issued, and they do need to show the location of storage yards on their property.
Essentially, they need a site plan amendment to show the location of the storage containers that are sitting in the gravel area on the site.
Could the owner of this property come forward and speak to us a little about why he's not in compliance at this time?
Could I ask a question?
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Newman, returning to the proffers, so there are no proffers associated with this application.
With this application.
So what happens to the proffers that are currently associated with the current zoning and the property now? If this were to be rezoned, what
they're
happens?
Repealed.
So they're null and void. They don't exist. Okay. Thank you.
Hey, good afternoon. My name's Ken Varr. I'm the owner. I just want to make it clear that I'm the owner, the underlying landowner, and that Foster Fuels is a potential tenant. So to be more specific, and Mr. Newman, correct me if I'm wrong, and I did speak to you extensively on the phone yesterday, and I didn't really get good answers, I don't feel, on what needs to be fixed. But I do know for sure on the landscaping, we're short on two sycamore trees.
Yes, sir.
And a handful of white pine trees that have either died or distressed. And
yes.
Okay. Snow's Garden Center is contracted to do that stuff, and I forwarded a letter to him from the owner of Snow's, Corbin Snow. They used up their nursery stock to replace some of the white pines. They can't get any more at this time of year. And they also very strongly advised me against planting additional trees right now because they won't do well. And they're just too far away from the building to water. And I trust Snow's, but even though I still made an additional phone call, I called Brimo Trees and I asked them if they could get me a couple of London Plains sycamore trees, and they said, no, we really shouldn't dig those now. So that's my response to the landscaping. I got an email that addressed the landscaping, and then I got a letter that was the exact same as the email, but it had one more additional matter, and that just came in the mail. That one was about the storage yard, about dumpsters. I worked extensively with Stephen Tugwell on this property, and he knows exactly what we were going to do there. He's not here to comment, so I don't want to say anything other than I do have to say I had a lot of trouble getting him to come to the property to return emails. There was a particular meeting where the general contractor from Pluvanna, myself, and the landscape contractor were all to meet at 12 o'clock. At about 11:50, we got a phone call. He said he couldn't leave the office because some other people did not come to work that day, and he had to stay there to cover the office. And I just generally felt like he was unresponsive. In the end, I think we found out he was looking for another job. So That was absolutely news to me. I when you go to a grocery store, you expect the groceries to be on the shelf. When you go to something like a contractor, you expect the contractor's equipment to be out back on the gravel behind the building, and that's where we keep our equipment. So I didn't know. This is my first time at the rodeo. I've done a rezoning before, but I've never done a development before. And, you tell me what needs to be done, we'll do it.
Okay, I have another question.
Yes, sir.
When compliance officers have come to this property, have you ever created any conflict or denied them to try to do their job?
Absolutely not. They're welcome to this property. In fact, we've signed up.
You've never threatened any compliance officer?
Absolutely not. Now, what you said is when they come to this property. Now, I was driving down the road one day, and I saw two guys in blue jeans walking around on another one of my properties. I stopped and, I briefly detained them and asked them for identification. I said, who are they? Just, I said, so who are you? May you tell me who you are?
That's everything?
What do you mean?
Was there any, how else did you detain them?
They were, they were briefly paused on their own will. They were not held hostage or anything like that. I wasn't mean to them.
Did you show them any piece of threatening possibility
Absolutely
hardware?
Not. Absolutely not. No. Now there is some. I was really disturbed. In fact, I don't know where you're going with this, but I went to a neighborhood meeting a few weeks ago, and then I get a phone call from the sheriff about 3 weeks after that, and they said, "Well, Mr. Barr, we've received a complaint that you were carrying a gun in a county meeting," and I said, "Well, I carry a gun everywhere except the places you can't carry a gun, like in this room or an airport or a school." I said, "Yes, I was carrying a gun."
Did you specifically show it to the people at the?
No.
Okay.
So I found that kind of absurd. And Bobby and I were standing on the steps of the old courthouse, and somebody in that meeting said, "Well, you can't bring a gun in here. It's a courthouse." I said, "No, that's not a courthouse. This is a former courthouse. It's a piece of architecture. This isn't a courthouse anymore than that Virginia Airline Railway is a railroad anymore. It's a former railroad." And Bobby was telling me how he used to shoot the 4-quad 50 in Vietnam, and I was talking about my guns. I'm like, "Yeah, I always have a gun on me." If people can take that the wrong way, but I'm sorry. We pledge allegiance to that flag at the beginning of this meeting. There's people that gave their lives for that flag.
Have you ever been contacted by DEQ and Department of Environmental Quality?
Yes, sir. A lady, absolutely. A lady named Jennifer Welcher from DEQ told me that Gwendolyn Rogel sent her to my property. Now, I had an interesting occurrence here. I was at work one day, and one of my guys said, "Hey, Ken, there's a car across the street at your other property." I said, "Okay, well, run over there and tell him to ride back out on the same horse they rode in on." And, Dean went over there, and he observed a lady back there waving a device around in this fashion. It looked like she was taking pictures. Later that same day, she showed up at the neighborhood meeting with pictures that were taken from trespass angles on two of my properties at 3180 Richmond Road and at 2969 Richmond Road. And she had an opportunity at that meeting to explain and be remorseful or apologize. Her husband was also seen on the property. He did express.
Okay. I was asking about the part of environmental quality.
Yes, sir, we're coming full circle with this. Unfortunately, Ms. Rogel was arrested for trespassing. The charges were certified by a judge and trial set for September 6th. So yes, the DEQ did contact me, and the DEQ wanted for me to stop what I was doing. I happened to be in Augusta County at the time, and come over there immediately and give them a guided tour of my property. This business of people go, what if you went home tonight and somebody was on your property taking pictures? What are you doing here? Why are you walking around my property taking pictures? Because it's a commercial property or zoned for commercial purpose doesn't change the property rights. It doesn't change the law. It doesn't give someone permission to go past two no trespass signs. I wouldn't do that. It's just not even common sense, and I just don't get it. I don't operate that way.
What I was asking what did you actually tell these people from the Department of Environmental Quality that they would have to get a warrant before they come on your property?
I don't recall specifically. You may want to talk over with DEQ on specifics, but but
Yeah, I'm just concerned that you're not complying with the ordinances and so forth. And
right.
It seems like when people come there to inspect the property, that
right.
they having a hard time performing their duties.
Right.
And I'm wondering right. if we intensify this zoning, are our county people going to have the same problem?
Mr. Payne can tell you that with a special use permit, you get permission to come on the property anytime. And right now, you actually do have permission to come on 2969 Road anytime because we're still going through development. Once we're done with that, you know, you can still come on the property with my permission. But if we get the special use permit, then you can come on the property. And that's actually one of the things that bothers me. And to tell you the truth, I'm not too crazy about the special use permit because of that reason. As far as people coming on the property and doing their duties, that's fine. But see, Gwendolyn Rogel lives in Louisa County. She didn't just stumble upon that property and say, oh, she'll have to tell you about this, but oh, this is a nasty property, I'm going to call the DEQ. No. Her father, Mr. Hicks, owns a property behind me. She had a petition in 2008 on his behalf, and she's promised me another petition on his behalf at this point. But everything being done on Mr. Hicks' behalf, I don't understand, because he's been out there when it's been 95, 100 degrees, riding his tractor, mowing his grass. He's capable of doing plenty by himself.
You've answered my question.
Yes, sir.
My next question.
Go ahead. But I got a question.
Is the reason that you're asking for what is the reason you're asking for fossil fuel rezoning, this ZMP 1604? Is that
briefly how it came about? Is we put up this new building and I called out for propane. Foster was one of three propane companies I called up. I got a phone call back from Foster. They said, oh, by the way, do you know we're looking for a place to put storage? Propane storage tank, and your property sort of looks like what we're looking for. And I said, okay, that's interesting. That's good. Tell me more. You know, we have a lot of extra space. So we got to talking. We drew up a lease. There is money. I mean, I do financially benefit from this. It's not a lot. It's less than 2% of my annual gross income, but it's nice.
In relation to this, before you go further,
yes, sir,
I need to ask Foster Fuels a question. Is propane considered a Class 2 hazardous material? It has to have a number 2 label on it?
It does have a placard.
And under hazard materials, it's a 1X as far as health goes and 4X as far as flammable goes.
You know, I would need to answer that truthfully. I would need to look up that placard number. It's not a contaminant fuel.
So but it is a hazardous material.
It is a hazardous material, yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
Has Mr. Barr told you under the trust agreement he has that storage of hazardous materials is not allowed on this property?
No, sir.
Okay.
What is the trust
agreement? Mr. Barr, your trust agreement, does that say that that you're not allowed to store hazardous materials on this property?
I don't know. First one to ask, what is the trust agreement?
Your deed of trust.
Your deed of trust.
If it says that, I'd like to read it. I did not notice
Page
that.
Page 2 of the trust agreement.
Yeah.
What is you're talking about with that's where we record the deed with the property?
That's why you got a loan.
Well, to answer your question, why I didn't tell them, I suppose I didn't know, and this is the first time I'm finding out right now. Sorry, I apologize if it's first time at the rodeo.
Well, I read things very detailed.
Well, thank you for your service.
I look at things like very.
Yeah. What's strange about it, though, is when somebody wants to cook a steak, they invite propane into their home. If they want to heat things up, they invite propane into their home. So, I mean, 5 gallons of propane exploding will kill you just as dead as 30,000 exploding. There's no difference between dead and deader. And if there was propane blowing up all over the place, we'd be hearing about it on the news, and I can't remember ever hearing about it.
Well, that doesn't happen very often, and I've actually looked at
diesel,
the...
I'm sorry?
Diesel fuel in your trucks.
Well, I mean, yeah, we carry. Yeah, I mean, you drove here in a car tonight that had enough power to blow up.
I know all
hazardous.
Of that. I'm just, when I look at things, I look at all of the paperwork that comes with it.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that.
It says compliance with environmental laws. Grantor represents and warrants to lender that during the period of grantor's ownership of the property, there has been no use, generation, manufacture, storage, treatment, disposal, release, or threatened release of any hazardous substance.
Oh, are you talking about with our bank? Or with our bank?
It's with the bank.
Oh, we've cleared this with the bank. We're good. Yeah, that's the first thing I did.
Number three says, yeah. Except as previously disclosed to and acknowledged, and so they can clear this with their
board. I thought you were talking about something we agreed to with the county. That's why it kind of caught me off guard.
So, in other words, but Foster Fuels didn't know that this could be a possibility.
But and you have myself and my attorney before signing the lease, we contacted the bank, and they did not oppose what we're doing. Absolutely. Yeah, that's if they did, that's then the thing's out. That's then we'll proceed some other direction. But they're okay.
Zimmer.
With it.
Yes.
Does she speak also when she's with Foster Fuels?
Okay.
The D part.
Mr.
Yes.
Chairman, conventionally, the commission's questions would take precedence in terms of time.
Okay, that's fine. You just hold on a second, and I can come back and ask you a question.
So,
Anybody have a bottle of water, please? Anybody?
Please.
Oh, thank you.
Take this one. James, in the staff report, it talks about a letter dated May 6th. And I just want to know, did that have all these conditions that are not in compliance in it?
Was that an attachment?
The site plan compliance. It just references a letter dated May 6th. I don't know that the letter is here, but it references a letter
attachment
that the applicant had to comply with conditions from a letter dated May 6th, 2016, in order to receive permits. So I just wonder, I mean, Mr. Barr seemed to indicate that he found out about the storage container non-compliance yesterday.
Within an answer, I guess.
So. Or yes, this sir. Week.
I believe that the storage container is a relatively new.
It is.
That's been a relatively new issue. We actually just discovered that during the course of writing up the staff report and looking at the previous documents. So that is a new issue. The May 6th is from May.
The May 6th let.
We need to see the
dealt with the landscaping
storage area on your site plan.
Okay.
We'll have an official letter for you that states what we still require.
Okay, just to make sure everyone heard that. So that a letter has not been even issued to me yet on it.
It'll state everything that we still require
from
you. In addition to the letters that you received earlier this week
and
in the email.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, I worked extensively with Steve Tugwell and made it pretty clear that we were going to park the storage containers in the gravel. And as far obviously, you just need the site plan to show where in the gravel they go.
Yes, sir.
Basically, so it's just in the gravel. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, roughly, how long do you think it's going to take for you to get everything cleared up and have this property back into and have this property be in compliance?
So the site plan amendment, if you've got it, I can do it right now. I can show you where the storage containers go. That's no problem. The landscaping, the two sycamore trees, and there's probably. I want to say we planted 141 trees. We were supposed to plant 141 trees. We planted 139 trees. They just came up short on a couple sycamores. They're saying in the wintertime. Now the pine trees, I think I need to just get out there and count. There's some that they've been dropping dead, in the heat. That I've noticed one or two get worse by the day here lately. So, but they're under warranty for snows, and. They're telling me winter time on those things too, and he didn't give me an exact date. But I'm not opposed to it. I mean, I paid for it. And it's under warranty, and I love trees. I mean, like I said, we planted 142. I was a landscaper for 18 years before we started this, and we did not cut one single tree on the property when we built the place. We did not cut one single tree. We planted 139. So I'll probably put up more. Actually, I got two. Apple trees I want to plant. So,
when was this originally required?
When was what originally required?
All of these compliance issues in 2013.
You mean the tree? No. This is a May 6th letter, I think, of this year. May 6th of this year.
A requirement under the current development Mr. Barr is doing out there.
But
the site plan originally was filed in 2013, but I believe there were He came back later on. You can correct me if I'm wrong. You worked with Mr. Tugwell on a...
Right. I had a setback. My wife passed away at the time, and so we got kind of paused at the time.
Yeah, I remember 2013 when we
I think that's when I very first started, and then there was a lot of...
Mr. Barr is interrupting the speakers. He really is, should not do that. He's out of order.
Okay. Do we have any other questions for Mr. Barr?
And then, yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you.
There was a question earlier that I asked about the deed of trust, and maybe somebody from Foster Fuel may have had some additional information about that. If so, they could come forward and speak to that.
Hello, I'm Kim. I'm with Foster Fuels, and I should also disclose I'm also a licensed realtor of 16 years with Roy Wheeler Realty, so I'm very familiar with how deeds work. I did read over the deed. The deed is the original deed from 2008. In 2008, when the deed was recorded and Mr. Barr bought it in 2013, yes, sir, it is true that hazmat material could not be stored, but it was only underground. Our tanks would be above ground. And the new deed of trust, when the TRID laws were passed in 2015, October 7th of 2015, under our loan purpose, allows any hazard material to trump a deed of trust as long as it is not proffered. The proffers don't exist with this. So it doesn't matter because our tanks would be above ground. It only applies to underground. And I'm glad to discuss that more if you'd like.
Thank you. Does anyone have any other questions? I will
not at the moment.
Open it up for discussion. I will open up the public hearing at this time. Anyone from the public wishing to come forward to make a comment at this time on this ZMP 1604, come to the microphone, state your name and address, and you will be limited to 3 minutes.
As the applicant, do I have a chance to speak?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Before we do the public hearing, comment. you can speak.
Good. Thank you, sir. Good evening. My name is Tim Spicer. I'm with Foster Fuels Company. I've been in the propane business for the past 30 years. Foster Fuels is a 95-year-old company with roots out of down towards Lynchburg, a small town called Brookneal. We are an independent, family-owned company, and we expanded our business. We already had business in Fluvanna County through state contracts for VDOT and prisons for the last, I would say, 10 years. We expanded our presence in residential and commercial business into Charlottesville and surrounding counties, including Fluvanna, in 2013. We have had a lot of growth. Propane in general has had a lot of growth as being a low carbon green fuel, and our customer base has grown beyond our expectations in different counties, including Fluvanna County. Currently, our closest storage facility to Fluvanna County is in Afton, and we are pulling product out of Afton and to Fluvanna and beyond, down to about Goochland. Our record as far as a company, our record as far as an industry, is very good. It's a very heavily regulated industry through NFPA laws, through fire safety analysis, federal, state, and local requirements. We have approximately six of these locations throughout Virginia. The term petroleum, what is it, James? Petroleum distribution facility is a new term to me. We refer to this as a bulk plant. or a bulk storage site. It's a site where our small trucks would load to go out to the end customer. One thing that we had discussed in a prior meeting was there was concern with the word petroleum, that it would possibly, you know, grow or change to other type of petroleums, which we agreed at that meeting that that was not our intent and that we were fine with putting that into the to the permit, that it was strictly for propane fuel. We're a very seasonal demand business. Cold weather, our business goes up due to heating, home heating. The facility initially would be one truck. And when I say one truck, I'm referring to what we call as a bobtail. It's a straight truck with a 3,200-gallon tank, single-axle truck. And then during the peak season, whenever it gets cold to when it stops, there would be two bobtail trucks out of that location. I foresee, and if we're granted the permit, that that it also would include what we call a service truck, which is a heavy-duty one-ton truck that's used to set the tanks at residential places. I understand that there's, you know, been some other issues between a couple of the neighbors and Mr. Barr. We are a do the right thing company, and we're looking to be a good neighbor and a good business to Fluvanna County. I encouraged all of the neighbors that they were welcome to go and look at any of our sites as far as cleanliness and the way that they're kept. So that's my O2, and I'll be glad to answer any questions that you have.
So these bobtail trucks, how often will they come to the property?
They would come to the property once a day during the non-season, and then during the heating season, about twice a day equals 30 or 40 deliveries, and I'm averaging that out to residential customers. So it's usually two loads a day.
How would they fill the 30,000 gallon tank?
That's filled off of our, we have our own fleet of tractor trailer trucks. So that fuel would either come out of, off of the Dixie pipeline, which terminates in Apex, North Carolina, or a rail yard in Stephen City. That truck, the tank on that truck is about 9,000 gallons. And that would fuel that 30,000 gallon tank.
How many trips a year?
How cold is it going to get this winter?
Is it just an average?
Yeah, an average, as an average, you know, non-heating season, a tractor trailer load every 7 to 10 days. And then during the heating season, I would estimate every 4 to 5 days, and that's probably pushing it. That's on the upper side.
And does it have a designated route to get there?
Yes, sir. Yes.
What would that route be?
So depending if he's coming from Apex, he would be coming up 95 to 64 and across 250. And if he's coming from Stephen City, he's going to come down 81 to 64.
So typically he wouldn't be traveling through like a residential area?
No, except no. To get to he's going from the terminal location to the bulk tank and then back to the terminal or back to his home base.
So if I could check your math, how big is the tractor trailer? How much does it carry?
Sure. It's 7 to 8,000 gallons, and it's a 42-foot trailer.
So 7 to 8,000 gallons.
Correct.
And I thought that the bobtail trucks were 3,200 gallons.
That's correct. But we can only fill them to 80%.
Okay. Well, the math of one every 4 or 5 days doesn't seem to add up to two trucks a day going out of there.
Right. That's and I'm averaging based on his question just because of, again, okay. We don't know what type of winter it's going to be. you know, there's a lot of variables that go into that. Anything else?
Anybody have any questions?
Thank you. I'll be here, so if I can help with something, just speak up, and I'll be glad to speak on it. Thank you. Did they get a handout? Okay. Great. Thank you for your time.
This time we will open the public hearing. Anyone wishing to come forward and speak on this matter, come forward to the microphone, state your name and address. You will be allowed 3 minutes.
All right. Thank you so much. Good evening. My name is Jamie Wills Payne. My address is 3165 Richmond Road. My biggest concern about the reclassification of Mr. Barr's property across from the women's prison is that I have lived with his noncompliance across on his previous property, which is directly across the road from my home on Richmond Road, for about the last 10 years. The property was approved to be a landscaping business. There was to be vegetation planted along the roadway. There was to be a deceleration lane. There was to be a parking lot, a paved parking lot, a nice building. This was to be for a landscaping business. That landscaping business never occurred. Not one piece of landscaping equipment has ever been brought on that property. It has been a dumpster business. Cavalier Container is who has been housed on that property. Mr. Barr has a tendency to not take full dumpsters to a dumping facility. His practice, and he's continuing that practice on this new property, there are currently about 5 dumpsters sitting there that are full of materials that have been taken from job sites, etc. He tends to bring those dumpsters there full. If he thinks there's anything in there that he might want to take out, he tends to take those materials out and pile them around on the ground. I don't know what some of these materials might be because I've never stepped foot on his property, but I have had a bird's eye view from my front porch, my front yard, for about 10 years. None of the items in which he was supposed to do for that piece of property were ever done. There was never a piece of vegetation planted. There was no deceleration lane. There was no business building. There was no parking lot. There were sometimes 15 or more dumpsters on that property. There was piles of concrete. There was piles of debris that he had taken out of these dumpsters and piled around on the ground. The dumpsters sit there full of trash. Obviously, it rains. Rainwater comes out of those dumpsters. When I purchased my property in 2004, my well was fine. I now have a well, and I'm not saying that this is Mr. Barr's fault. This is my personal responsibility. My well is now contaminated, and I am going to have to drill a new well. And it's not fit for human consumption. It's full of bacteria. Again, I'm not saying that's Mr. Barr's fault, but seems like a strange coincidence when you've had a lot of trash that's been just piled on the ground. My real issue with this is if he is given a wider girth with a wider zoning for this property that he now owns across from the women's prison, how far is he going to take that? I have seen nothing from him but noncompliance. So, and I'd like to also correct him on just one thing. At the public meeting, he stated he showed his gun to no one. He showed it to me. I saw it. He pulled it out of his pocket and showed me. So,
thank you
for your time.
Anyone else wishing to come forward at this time, please come forward and state your name and address. You will be limited 3 minutes.
No.
No.
Okay, because I never got to comment. I got to answer questions, but I never got to comment.
Just sit back down.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm Marshall F. Tomlin, Jr. I live at 3422 Zion Road. Mrs. Rogol and I approached a number of our residents and fellow members in the community, and I have a petition and a letter from one person I'd like to present to you, if I may. And I'd like to comment on reasons why we wouldn't like to approve this.
Yes, sir.
Let's I don't want to be redundant, but from L1 to L2, it says in the master plan that it's not particularly compatible in a residential neighborhood. And with that, the area that we're dealing with is heavily residential. And we would like for it not to change. The only two people benefiting from this change is Mr. Barr and Foster Fuel. It does nothing for the county, it doesn't bring in any revenue, or it doesn't increase the tax base. When we talk about the number of trucks, the driveway is of the green design. It is a gravel driveway. It is new dirt. We're talking about a winter. We don't know whether it's going to be mild or not. But think of all those trucks trying to get up that gravel driveway in the wintertime with 9,000-10,000 gallons of propane. Also, on the same piece of property, I'd like to read a restrictive conveyance. You may or may not be aware. This land carries with it a conveyance that says this conveyance is made subject to the restrictions that no portion of the property herein conveyed may be used for an automobile junkyard, automobile garage, repair yard, and this restriction is to be conveyant running with the land. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to come forward at this time, please come forward, state your name and address. You'll be allowed 3 minutes.
Yes, my name is Mike Vogel. I'm representing my father-in-law. Lives at 3560 Zion Road. And actually, he's 89 years old, and he goes to bed at 6. Just to set the record straight. But anyway, my concerns is the safety issues on the highway. The track, as of today, I went by the property, and there's 8 or 9 dumpsters full of flammable materials on a corner of the building where the track trail will have to come around. And I know on many occasions he's in violation and he doesn't stay in compliance. And what our main concern is, if Foster Fuel pulls out later on of the lease, he still has that permit, which allows him to do quite a bit more than what he's doing now. He's got violations on several properties. In fact, he was correct on getting summons on my wife for trespassing. We weren't on his property, we were on the road. His driver blocked me in, but that's beside the point. And we've had adopted highway for 20 years. It's not unlike us to clean trash out of ditches. And I don't like seeing public dump sites on the side of the highway. I'm just concerned about, it seems like to me every time he has a compliance problem, it's somebody else's fault. And I think you should take control of his violations and maybe actually have some monetary problems with it. Because otherwise, he just brushes on the rug or moves it from here to there. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to come forward at this time? State your name and address. You'll be limited to 3 minutes.
My name is Bobby McGee. I live at 3356 Richmond Road, and I have another property, 3360. And Mr. Barr has a place on joining my property, the 3 acres on the south side, same side of the prison. And I have a spring within 100 yards of his property, and it hadn't contaminated my springs. And I have a well probably about 100 yards from the property, and not a thing in the world wrong with my water. And as far as that's concerned, the prison, I can go out my back door every night and hear generators running, pumps running, lights all around the prison. All my property at the back joins the prison. And Mr. Barr's property has never bothered me. I mean, some concrete there, some gravel, sometimes some dumpsters sitting around, but you have to really strain if you go down 250 to see them. I mean, not unless you're up on a hill. And as far as that's concerned, trash, twice in the last 30 days I've had to pick trash up and take it up to the women's prison that has blown out of the trash trucks leaving the prison and blown out on my property. And the warden over there can, she can swear to that. I've been up there twice, even carried a couple of the bags of trash that come from the prison. And like I say, Mr. Barr's property, what he does on his property has never hurt me at all. And as far as the runoff, like I say, it's a stream. My springs go down through there. Not, hadn't bothered me a bit.
Thank you.
That's all I have to say.
Anyone else wishing to come forward at this time?
Good evening. My name is Gwendolyn Rogel, and my father is Alvin Hicks, and I just want to represent...
The address?
Yes, and I just want to show you some pictures.
The address?
Oh, 3560 Zion Road.
Thank you. While we're looking at these pictures, anyone else wishing to come forward at this time to speak on this matter, please come forward and state your name and address. And with all people, we were only limit you to 3 minutes.
Sir, can I make a comment in my introduction?
Yes, sir. Come forward.
Thank you. As far as the traffic, I can understand by somebody that doesn't know anything about our business that would be a concern. But with the change in from the current zoning to the requested zoning, it actually is going to limit Mr. Barr on a lot of things that are by right use now. By right use now is retail, commercial, things that would create a whole lot more traffic than what we would create. So thank you.
Thank you. You come forward, I will limit you to 3 minutes to make any comments that you have to make at this time.
First off, I'd like to point out to Ms. Wills that I think she'll agree I quit making noise and I quit even going on the 3 acres property. And it's not because I'm trying to get this rezoning done. It's because she told me how much it hurt her, and that hurt me, and I'm sorry about that. And that's a separate issue. On traffic, I want to point out that the number of propane trucks on the road is not governed by the number of propane companies. It's governed by the number of propane customers. So if Foster doesn't bring them propane, somebody else will. The benefit to the county's residents are more competitors. If there was only one grocery store, imagine what you'd pay for groceries. Finally, Flavanna County, I got this from Steve Nichols at the Flavanna Fair. The county wants more business in some level. The will of the people must be heard, and I just want you to vote tonight. If the will of the people is not for this, vote against it. If the message is clear that Flavanna doesn't want business and that's the will of the people, that's the will of the people. You just send them a little bit larger tax bill. The land was for sale for a very low price for a long time. Anybody could have bought it. I'm the one that took the risk to buy it. Brought over $2 million of investment into that property. But it didn't cost $2 million to buy the property. The underground land was a lot cheaper. Anybody could have bought it. The Rogels could have afforded it. If they want me to go away, I guess all they have to do is say so. Like I said, there is a small monetary benefit to this, but today's my son's birthday, and I was supposed to be leading his scout troop tonight. And I came here and pledge allegiance to this flag instead of the one in his scout troop. Same flag, but different setting. And if everybody hates me and they want me to not do business here, all they got to do is say so. And I thank you for your time.
Okay, the public hearing will end at this time, and we'll open it up to discussion with the planning department. Maybe I'll start out then.
I'm not sure about the appropriate procedure, but I'd like to confer with our attorney privately, if I could, or we could, or whatever. Is there a procedure for that? I'd like to ask you a question.
Why don't you ask the question now, and I'll let you know whether I think it's appropriate.
Whether it's a good question, okay.
I wasn't going to offer a normative comment on it.
Okay, so you're free to. It concerns proffers. Proffers are clearly have to be entirely voluntary. I understand that. But one of the issues is clearly what happens with this property if Foster Fuels go away. What comes next? So is it appropriate for us to ask if they would willingly proffer things?
No.
Okay. That was the easy answer. Go ahead,
Jerry. I don't think you need a closed session for that.
Okay.
I do have some problems.
Not if the answer's no.
We have had problems with Mr. Barr and compliance in the past. Has not been very cooperative from the information. I've done a little bit of research in this, and I've been told some different things from different people than some of the information I've gotten tonight. So I have a big problem of giving an more intense zoning to this property when we're having problems with the owner complying to the present zoning that he has. I probably wouldn't have that feeling except that I've investigated this thoroughly, and I've looked at the property and so forth like that, as you can see in those pictures, that it's not very well kept. Also, they were talking about, when I was talking about the deed of trust, they said something about 2008, but what we have here is the 10th of July, 2013. So I just wanted to point out that difference.
My biggest concern is also with the compliance. It's currently not in compliance. So really, why are we looking to change the zoning for something that's not in compliance currently?
And you also have one neighbor in support, and then you've got so many opposed to it. That concerns me. Along with what you're saying, too.
Anybody else have any other discussion about this?
Mr. Chairman, let me read you the statement of intent of the I-2 zone. Yeah, some of you all may have read it, others may not. Let me just read it to you. The primary purpose of this district is to establish an area as defined by the comprehensive plan where the principal use of land is for heavy commercial and industrial operations, which may create some nuisance and which are not properly associated with nor particularly compatible with residential, institutional, and neighborhood commercial service establishments. The specific intent of this district is to A, encourage the construction of and the continued use of the land for heavy commercial and industrial purposes, B, prohibit residential and neighborhood commercial use of the land, and to prohibit any other use which would substantially interfere with the development, continuation, or expansion of commercial and industrial uses in the district. C, to encourage the discontinuance of existing uses that would not be permitted as new uses under the provisions of this ordinance. You are entitled, and you are certainly entitled, and I really think you are required to consider that statement of intent. I'm not commenting on what impact that ought to have, but you need to consider that statement.
Do we have any questions about that zoning as far as what Mr. Payne just read us? Okay, if not, if there's no further discussion, I will entertain a motion at this time.
I'll make a motion if you want me to. I move that the Planning Commission recommend denial of ZP 1604, the request to rezone from I-1 Industrial Limited to I-2 Industrial General with respect to approximately 14.77 acres of Tax Map 4, Section A, Parcel 99.
Okay, I have a motion for denial for ZMP 1604 by Mr. Johnson. Do I have a second?
Yes, you have a second.
Okay, I have a second. And all in favor of denial, say aye.
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 Chair votes aye, 5-0 for denial. Now, my question is this. Since the zoning request has been denied, would the SUP be applicable?
Yes, you need to take action on this because you have to consider that your action on the zoning is not final, and the board may disagree with you. If they do, then it would certainly be appropriate for them to consider the SUP request.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is SUP 1608, Fossil Fuels Propane Tank, a request for special pressure permits to install a petroleum distribution facility.
Yes, sir. This is on the exact same parcel we've been discussing. It's 14.77 acres of Tax Map 4A99, again, it's within the Zion Community Planning Area. This is a request for a petroleum distribution facility for one 30,000-gallon tank, as well as a storage area for smaller tanks. And the applicant has said there may be one delivery van per day or more as seasonal, and approval of this item is dependent upon a rezoning to I-2. Petroleum distribution facility is defined in our code as a facility for the storage and distribution of fuels or other volatile products. This is a view of the property. Again, there is a structure on site. It's zoned I-1 currently and surrounded by A-1, I-1, and B-1 property. This is the proposed layout for the site. They would have a storage tank here for the 30,000 gallons, and then their storage area for the smaller residential commercial tanks would be up here. The applicant can explain that a little bit more. This will provide propane to businesses and to residences within the area. The applicant will work with the fire department in fire control training exercises, and I do have our fire chief here in attendance today to answer any questions you all may have. Bollards and fencing will be placed for security. This is made condition number 6. The special use permit is for one 30,000-gallon tank installation only. Other tank installations would require further special use permits. This is made condition number 8. This use has been permitted before. The prison across the road has large fuel tanks. There have been no issues with those. And Tiger Fuels operates at nearby Zion Station Court with fuel tanks. Again, no issues with those tanks. In conclusion, this, in order for this to be approved, it has to be rezoned I-2. It is within the Zion CPA. The use is a low intensity. The applicant states that there is very little noise and no noticeable smell. The fire chief had his safety concerns assuaged at the technical review committee meeting, and the application appears to meet all county code requirements. Potential adverse impacts would be safety, as well as an increase in traffic. I have a motion, and we're here to answer any questions you may have.
So just to be clear, this is a bit of an academic exercise at this point because the rezoning was denied.
The rezoning was denied or recommended denial by your commission.
We're scheduled to have a public hearing on this item as well.
Understood.
You should consider the special use permit application as if the rezoning were approved. So, in other words, if it's the rezoning, the breadth of the rezoning, let's say, to which you object and you don't object to this particular use, then you could recommend approval. And the board then would consider first your recommendation for denial of the I-2 zoning. If they disagreed with that, then they could approve the special use permit.
So we're considering, if I could paraphrase so a dumb forester can understand all that, if we're considering this, we should do the mental exercise that we approved the I-2 zoning.
Yes, that's exactly what you should do.
So we, I guess to paraphrase or jump on what...
Paraphrase. We're pretty far afield in this statement.
So we're to look at this as if we approved the I-2 zoning previously.
Not you did it, but that it's been done.
Okay, so it's been done.
If, for example, you considered only the rezoning tonight, recommended denial, it went to the board approved it, and then the application came in for the special use permit, you would consider that as if you would consider that in the context of the rezoning having been approved.
Okay.
So what you're doing is you're hypothesizing that the zoning is proper and then considering whether this use is proper under the circumstances.
Okay. Even if some of the proffers that were previously on the property, if that was already taken care of, or
no, the proffers are gone. If this zoning is approved, there are no proffers. So the only zoning restrictions on this property are the ones that are set out in the I-2 district.
So you're saying we're not to judge this SUP under its current zoning?
Right, because it can't be approved under the current zoning.
Thank you for saying that better than I did.
Okay.
If you were to determine that this special use permit should be granted, your recommendation should be that you recommend approval contingent upon the zoning being changed to permit it to be approved. I somehow get the impression that you all not understand.
I got it.
I understand.
Maybe I'll let Mr. Zimmer do it.
Just because. But it's an argument only a lawyer could love, I tell you. But I understand.
Well, you know, there's two ways to do this. One is you could consider the rezoning by itself, let that go all the way through the process, have the board approve it or deny it, and then start again with a special use permit. This is not an unusual way to do it, mm-hmm. where you run them together just right. so that the time limits are right. sort of truncated. Mm-hmm. But that's the way you should think of it anyway.
Gotcha.
Do we have any questions?
I would note that the staff report does, in red, have all caps. Approval of this item depends on rezoning your property to I-2.
Mm-hmm. There's an option to make in the motion to defer.
I'm sorry?
There's an option as we go through this process to defer it also.
You could do that.
Okay. Would the applicant like to come forward at this time?
Yes, sir. So I have a question, and as your reference for the special use permit, if the special use permit is approved and we go back to rezoning, can we then volunteer proffers and it be attached and rezoned if Mr. Barr complies?
You want me to answer that question?
Yes.
I'm not sure I understand the question, but if the next step in the rezoning is to go to the Board of Supervisors, if the Board of Supervisors approves it, then it's all set and this use is permitted by special use permit in the I-2 district. If the Board of Supervisors does not approve it, then they can't approve this special use permit because it's not permitted in the I-1 district.
But they can make changes to the application between the Planning Commission's denial and the Board's public hearing.
Yes.
So you can make changes right. to the application.
Okay. Was that the question?
In that.
Yes,
I think
sir.
It was.
I was trying to.
I can't believe I got that. You did.
I'm just a dumb lawyer. You're a forester.
Okay.
Does the applicant want to make any other speak to this at all?
Sure. Thank you. Again, as I stated earlier,
punished might not be the right word, but I almost feel like we're being punished because of current or past issues with the property that doesn't have anything to do with what we're seeking to do. So again, I would ask that the board strongly consider the special use permit. While I haven't talked to Mr. Barr, it's his property. The question was raised earlier about what happens if Foster Fuels goes away. That tank alone is about $100,000 value. So if we go away, that tank's going away with us. So as far as proffers go, if the special use permit did get passed, that's something that I would want to talk to with Mr. Barr to see if we can work out something to reapply under the conditions that would satisfy the board.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Let me make a comment based on something Mr. Spicer just said. The answer to the question that Mr. Zimmer so accurately formulated was that between now and the public hearing before the board, the applicant is entitled to make proffers. If the property, if the application goes to the board, the zoning ZMP goes to the board, and the board denies it, substantially the same application cannot be brought for another year. So I want to make sure that Mr. Spicer was clear on that.
Got it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question of the owner.
Is it proper for the owner to make a comment, or can I allow him to?
He can make a comment as a member of the public. Certainly not to be argumentative or whatever.
Okay.
You're not entitled to give legal advice.
Would he make his comment during when I open the public hearing on the?
It's up to you. I think it would not be appropriate to have the applicant and the owner giving duplicative speeches. But as a member of the public, I think he'd be entitled to speak.
Okay. At this time, we're going to open the public hearing. Anyone wishing to come forward to the microphone to make a comment about this SUP 1608, please come forward to the microphone at this time and state your name and address.
I realize we're conducting a purely academic exercise here, as Bert brought up. I want to point out that I am messy. I got a messy property. And Foster is not messy. Foster is neat. Their properties are neat. So I do feel bad that my mess has been held against them. But not all of my property is messy. I mean, if you go to look at the beautiful brand new building, I don't think pictures of that were submitted. They went to the nitty gritty and found the ugliest and zoomed in on those. So I don't envy you guys, because there's no business zones in Fluvanna. And as we rezone anything and put business in Fluvanna, it's going to be next to residential because there's no business, and you're going to go through this every time a business tries to come in. So I'm the first person to put a business on Richmond Road, you know, between Zion Crossroads and, I guess, all the way back to Memory Lane, back in there, Dillard's, but they're off the road. Anyways, so I'm the first one, and if there's going to be more, if the will of the people is not to have business, that's the will of the people. That's how you vote, and we thank you for your service. But I wanted to ask, maybe as a question here briefly, can we just allow Foster under the current zoning as a variance? That way, it's Foster only. If Foster leaves, it evaporates. It doesn't let me do a single thing more. I don't want to do any more. I don't even want industrial 2 zoning, other than to allow the special use permit. But can it be done just as a variance, like I said, just for Foster? And I think, if anything, that would clean up my act, because it would have more eyes on the property. And like I said, Foster, please don't hold my mess against Foster. I do keep my places messy from time to time. It waxes and it wanes, but sounds like I need to clean up. That's a separate issue. But again, please don't hold it against Foster. They're good, clean people. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to come forward at this time, please come forward to the microphone and state your name and address.
My name is Marshall F. Tomlin, Jr., and I live on Zion Road, Troy, Virginia. Gentlemen, I represent those people who signed the petition and speak for myself. The issue is not only with the zoning, it is because of the special use permit. Special use permit grants, the change has to be made in the zoning before they can get permit. But if Foster Fuels come there, stay 6 months or 18 months, and it's not physically economical for them, they are going to move. I know the tank's going to go, but the property has already been rezoned. If Mr. Barr goes to the business, it's open up to anybody for whatever they want to put there under the terms for an industrial too. Those are our concerns, the change in the zoning. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to come forward? Come forward this time. As I've stated in the past, state your name and address, and you're limited to 3 minutes.
Again, my name is Jamie Wills Payne. I live at 3165 Richmond Road, Troy, Virginia. I think Mr. Barr is saying that we don't want business in our county. That's not the case. I know personally I can say I just don't want a business that's going to be very unsightly to those citizens living around it, and is also going to be, he has cleaned up the noise. I give him credit for that. Thank you for that. I've had a lot more sleep. But a business that is making so much noise that it literally shakes the foundation of my home after midnight, which has previously happened. Those types of businesses I don't think are good stewards. They're not good neighbors. They're not good stewards of the privilege that they've been given to be part of that community. And so those are the types of businesses that we don't want in our community. So that to be taken into consideration is appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to come forward, please come forward at this time.
Yes, my name is Mike Rowell, representing Alvin Hicks, 3560 Zion Road. The parcel of property, as earlier I mentioned, that I have a problem with the safety with the track trailer turning in off 250. And if you notice on, you don't have the drawing up right now, but the notice on the right side of the building is, I don't know the exact footage or the clearance, you see the right front. Now, in order for a track trailer to actually operate in that small area, I'm assuming he's going to go all the way around the building. Well, at this time, he has 8 or 9 dumpsters on that right corner full of trash. My concern is a tank getting ruptured, an accident. And then, of course, we have a major fire, which, from my understanding, we can't put it out. We have to let it burn out. So we're going to hold up 5 different fire companies from the areas to sit there and watch this fire burn out and let somebody else's resident burn up in the meantime. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to come forward, please come forward this time. If not, we will end the public hearing at this time and open the Planning Commission for discussion. I myself am still having a little bit of a problem wrapping my head about this because of what I previously read, that this would not be applicable if it was not rezoned to I-2. I don't think that our main concern is Foster Fuel. From what I've learned about them, they're pretty good stewards. And from what I can understand, limited conversations, that they're pretty reputable people and follow what they say. I don't know really how to go about this. I'm still
for me, a huge part of the not wanting to rezone this centered around current owner non-compliance and various things clearly has some level of adversarial relationship with his current neighbors. But if I can in my mind say, okay, assume this use was allowed, say it was allowed in I-1 with a special use permit, just that makes it easier for me to figure out. I would have less problems with this use. Like many industries, particularly any industries related with hazardous materials or flammable materials, I know this industry is highly regulated. So there's probably, and it's more regulated than most industries or many, many other industries. So the issues around Foster Fuels application are less of a concern than the legitimate concern folks have is what if Foster Fuels goes away? So now it's I-2, what else can go in there? And I think that's a much better concern. So if I can still have a trouble working it around in my mind that we're supposed to pretend we rezoned, almost pretend we rezoned it, but I'm more favorably inclined to this, to the special use permit, than I was to the rezoning because—
We have three choices. We can approve, we can deny, or we can defer until after the zoning request goes to the Board of Supervisors. Am I proper in what I'm saying here?
Certainly. That's certainly true. The only thing, I want you to be mindful of the timing, because if you defer it, if you defer it to see what the board is going to do, then you would have to defer it to a meeting after the board would otherwise be acting on the special use permit. That the board would act on the zoning wouldn't be able to act on a special use permit until after you had acted. Again, I'm not saying
that's
good.
Sometime around the first of the year of the board actually acting on the special use permit.
Well, it would probably,
be October.
Yeah, I would guess it would be.
On the special use permit?
It would be November for them.
We deferred until the Planning Commission meeting in September. That would be after the board meets in September.
So yeah, they would probably,
the rezoning would be
we're
settled.
We're not really that far behind. Okay. It probably could be done in October.
And that's the only ramification for the applicant is that it's delayed, basically, if we defer it.
I think that's correct. And not to put too fine a point on it, but based on the commission's comments, it's clear that the zoning is sort of viewed as the main event. So that I think, and again, this is not my opinion, I'm just repeating what I think I'm hearing. The commission views the rezoning as more problematic than the SUP application.
That's certainly true for me. This specific use is less of an issue than the greater number of uses and potentially disruptive uses. And, Mr. Payne's description of what's intended for I-2 zoning and it's somewhat or whatever, generally incompatible or with, something against residential use, not real good for residential.
Not properly associated with nor particularly compatible with residential, institutional, and neighborhood commercial service establishments.
So I don't think this particular use of I-2 is really that troubling. Doesn't meet that definition real well, but many of the other uses could. So the rezoning is more of an issue for me, and I would be inclined either way, either to defer it or to even approve the SUP, to give and trust that the board will make a wise decision on whatever application is brought to them.
Well, there is something to be said for a deferral, because if the applicant has expressed an interest in considering revising the zoning application, and if that happened, then it would be relevant to your consideration of the special use permit how it ended up getting approved if it were approved. So there is that to be said for it.
Yeah, I get this. Proper that we could approve the SUP, but I wonder if we're getting the horse before the cart.
you wouldn't be approving it, you'd be recommending it for approval. And what I was trying to say before, and I'm not being a dumb forester, I can't talk as clearly, but what I'm getting at is, if you move to recommend approval tonight, you're doing it on the basis of the applications as they exist today. If the matter were deferred till after the board acted on it one way or the other, then you would know. If the board denied it, then the issue's really moot. If the board approved it, but they approved it in a different context, you might have other considerations that you'd want to consider. So I don't think a deferral would be inappropriate.
Okay. If we were to finish discussion and questions for Mr. Payne, do I have a motion on the matter before us?
I move that the Planning Commission recommend deferral of AP 16:8, request to install petroleum distribution facility with respect to approximately 14.77 acres of tax map 4, Section A, Parcel 99, subject to the 9 conditions listed in the staff report.
And okay. I take it your motion is to defer till the September meeting?
Till the September meeting, yes.
I have a motion by Mr. Lagosino to defer this matter until the September meeting. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Mr. Zimmer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is ZMP 1602, Rivanna Heights rezoning.
This is a request to rezone 13.81 acres of tax map 18A10 from A1 Agricultural General to R3 Residential Planning Community. This parcel is located within the Rivanna Community Planning Area, and this is for a 40-unit development with amenities. It's the location of the parcel off of South Boston Road near Riverside. This is the surrounding zoning. All surrounding properties are zoned either R3 or A1. This is the plan submittal that they have submitted, and based on technical review committee comments, they have amended their plan. They have included space down here for sheriff's officers and deputies to keep an eye on the road. And we know that safety has been a big concern, and so they've addressed that. I believe they've also done work on their deceleration and acceleration lane here at the entrance, and the applicant can speak more to that. Just some topography of the site. Again, 40 units, A1 to R3. It's already surrounded by R3 zoning, located within the Rivanna Community Planning Area, and this appears to conform to county code. A site development plan will be required for development. Issues to consider include an increase in traffic, as well as road access to the site entry and exit. Staff and the applicant are available should you have any questions.
Understand that the applicants have revised the plan from what we originally saw on this matter in a work session.
Yes, sir.
To comply or over comply with all of the VDOT recommendations.
Yes, sir, and that's what they've got here with their plan, which you all would be voting on.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Would the applicant like to come forward at this time to speak on this matter?
Good evening. I'm Bill Bailey. I have pictures here that I think you all probably have seen of houses that we've, or concept of what we're proposing to put on this property. It could be a total of 40 townhouses, and the idea would be to
designed them in such a way that they would appeal to different ages of people. We have some one levels, two levels. We would like to think that we'll attract service people, teachers, nurses, policemen. I know that one concern is the road. That obviously we can't do much about with the road, but one thing we can do is if we could sell two houses to police officers that have a car, it would certainly help the patrolling on that road. But anyway, that's our desire to do. And Mr. Chambers has done, I think, a pretty fine job of laying out what you see there. You've got a community garden as you drive in. I think he's now made the road one way so that it will lessen the impact of traffic. It will have, I think, four or five hydrants along the way. There is a public picnic area there for the folks. It has, it's well lighted. It's got a picnic shelter. It's got trails going down all through the property, and it actually could access the locks down on the Ravenna. I just think it's going to be a really nice little housing development, and I think it'll be an asset to the county. So I'm glad to answer any questions you have, or I'm sure Brian can follow up with some details of the design and so forth.
Anyone have any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
I wonder if anybody in the audience wants to have a look too. One of the reasons we're so enthusiastic about this project is, as everyone knows, there are three basic necessities for life, and those are food, shelter, and clothing. And if you maintain the quality of any one of those items, which is what we are trying to do here, we are trying to maintain the quality of housing while reducing the cost. You increase the quality of life. We are actually increasing the quality of providing food because we are having community gardens here. And there has been a lot recently about the benefits of community gardens. Anybody that wants to see this or see the list on one of my displays there about the benefits of a community garden can read through that. And this is not only a way for people to provide quality, affordable housing for themselves, but it's a way for them to provide affordable food, much healthier food than they would get normally from a store because they're growing it on their own. The housing issue has been around for quite a while. I mean, I've got this housing providing homes for everyone. This was a vision statement that was written by Fluvanna County back in about 2006, 2007. And in it, they're sort of bemoaning the fact that, hey, we've got some families with annual incomes ranging from $20,000 to $50,000, and they can't afford housing. So we're trying to provide affordable housing, affordable quality housing for these individuals. And in addition to that, because we know that they are middle income and they are trying to provide for themselves and their families, we're doing the community gardens on this as well. Now, some of the things that I went through line item by line item with VDOT are shown on that plan up there. The one-way road going through the project, of course, was per Mark Wood's suggestion. I actually met with him and said, how can we satisfy your requirement for us to meet this distance to an intersection? Would a one-way road do that? And he said, yes, of course. one-way road would do that. So we redesigned that. There were some other issues about visibility because this is a high-volume road, so we moved the entrance. I moved the entrance to the crest of a hill. Now, looking down the hill, I think the requirement was for like 600 feet of sight distance. I actually went from the 618 intersection towards where we proposed to put the exit on Rivanna Heights. And you've got over 950 feet where you can see, you know, straight up the hill. And that will be proven by the topography later on with VDOT. I've got sight distances on there that were required by VDOT, that sort of thing. There was an inaccuracy in one of the comments that I made in that list of comments that I gave to you. I'm human. I do make mistakes from time to time. I said that there wasn't a D-cell lane on the Riverside entrance. There is. There actually is. Rivanna Road across the street doesn't have one. Broken Island doesn't have one. But Riverside does. So yesterday, I went out and I measured that D-cell lane. And lo and behold, that D-cell lane is 210 feet long. And this right here, these are all the lots that are served by that D-cell lane. There's over 240 lots here. We're proposing 40 here with a 200-foot D-cell lane on the road. And Bill, would you pass that out to the guys up there?
Thank you.
Okay. There were some other issues that were brought up in the previous public hearing, and we really want to address those because we want creative comments. We want to make this the best thing that we possibly can make, so we will take all comments that are creative to make this a good plan. We are trying to meet the need of Fluvanna County for the housing, so that was our primary objective, and, you know, keep everything affordable, keep everything within the nature of Fluvanna County, make it attractive. Okay. Some of the other comments that were made besides the VDOT comments, which I can go through with you if you have any questions on those, this has come up before. There's, what is it there? Lake Monticello Road down there, and they were worried about us connecting to the road at Lake Monticello. Well, the only reason I've got that easement there is it's a VDOT requirement for connectivity. We don't plan to connect. We show the on this plan right here, we're showing the pavement ending, you know, over 200 and some feet away from the road in Lake Monticello. We don't want to connect. You know, we're going to have a homeowners association and a road maintenance agreement, and we'll take care of the road. The other thing was lights. Don't want lights shining on anybody. Well, basically what I had in mind was, you know, for people walking on the sidewalks, you want to illuminate the sidewalks so nobody trips going over a curb. That doesn't have to be a high-level light. That can be a low-level light shining on a sidewalk. And basically, that's what I had intended to do there. The community gardens, you're talking about tree buffers and stuff like that. The plan is to have head-high hedges, some sort of attractive surrounding buffer that is basically what you're going to see, because if you look at the plan, you've got this huge triangular section that's reserved for the community gardens. And as you pass along, of course, there's going to be buffers on the roadside of the subdivision street. So hopefully those will shield the townhouses somewhat. But mostly you're going to see this attractive community garden at the entrance to this subdivision. Can you think of anything else? I'm open for questions too.
Okay, you spoke about affordable housing. Do you know roughly what price point you're trying to hit?
Mr. Bill.
What we're thinking, we're talking probably about 1,400 square feet. And my guess is we're probably bumping up against 200 plus to it anyway these days. We're not trying to do Section 8 housing or anything like that. We want quality housing, but we don't want to be expensive housing. And we're trying to make it affordable for the service people that are making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year, that sort of thing. So that's what we're trying to do.
So you said roughly in the...
Let's call it upper, close to 200.
You also had agreed to put a spot there where the sheriff's department could do traffic enforcement.
We've got a pull-off there, or a spot for a pull-off that he can use to patrol or whatever he needs to do. I understand the road problems, but I think that would help him. I haven't spoken with the sheriff. We traded calls couple weeks ago and didn't connect, but I'd certainly be willing to work with Sheriff
Pass
on anything about
doing that. I think he's recommended that VDOT reduce the speed limit in there. Of course, that's in the package there, that he has recommended that. I was down there last night, and what I saw was probably the biggest problem they have on that road is the people are not complying with the speed limit that's there now. 45 mile an hour zone through there, and I was there for a little while and drove around that way, and the people were traveling through that pretty rapidly. My main concern with this project originally was traffic for the health and safety and welfare of the people there, so forth like that, and VDOT had some concerns, and you've gone far beyond what they've asked you to do. So that alleviated some of my concerns with that. So looking at the project itself and the layout and so forth, I kind of liked it and so forth like that, and the screening that you're going to do and so forth like that. So anybody else have any questions for the applicants?
One more. I also got a question. It's actually asked to me about you all connecting with Aqua Virginia, and is there basically enough capacity currently at the water treatment plant for your?
We actually have a letter from Aqua Virginia saying that they are on board, and I was looking for it through my folder just now. Let me do some more looking, and I will get it to.
In that same regard, the last meeting we had, a lady approached me about the fact that and I don't really have whether this really has any concern with this, about the smell of the sewage in that area there. So have y'all noticed anything like that? Or if there is a concern, would y'all make sure that Aqua would be...
That's an Aqua Virginia issue, because in the evenings in that area, they
then it's subject to DEQ.
They purge.
Yeah.
Sanctions over that.
Yeah.
The smell is definitely an issue from where I live.
Yeah.
In the Crofton section of the lake. I can smell that sewer plant, on, especially on weekends. One of the things I don't see in the letter, it doesn't address the previous DEQ sanctions that have been placed on Aqua because of that treatment plant and how they intend to overcome those. And some of those issues have been that it's not big enough to handle what it's got.
Mr. Chairman, those are absolutely legitimate points and it's proper for you to consider, but I would point out that if this is approved, there would have to be a subdivision review, and a subdivision review would, of course, be conditioned upon water and sewer. So the worst that could happen if this got approved and then Aqua didn't supply it is it wouldn't be developed. And while we're at it, I want to make clear that the plan you see here is a conceptual plan, and there will have to be further detailed plans. Frankly, if you take this from a poor dumb lawyer, that I would have some concern about this entrance. And the reason I would is if you get in there, there's only one way to get out. And if you get in and get past where you're going, you can't turn around and go back. You'd have to go all the way to the outside, go out onto the state road and come back in. Now, I'm not telling you that that's fatal or anything, but I do observe it for what it's worth in my, for this purpose, layman's opinion, that this plan is likely to be tweaked if the rezoning is approved. But you will be looking at things like that.
And this plan here is completely non-binding. This is just...
No, it's not non-binding.
It's conceptual, though.
It's conceptual. You wouldn't... Let's put it this way. You're not going to go out and start moving dirt with this plan.
Right.
But in
they
terms
can't,
of...
They can't substantially deviate from the plan under R3.
Okay.
Right.
There, there's some leeway.
So you couldn't move, you know, have this block down here. You couldn't make it twice as long or couldn't move it 100 feet back or something like that. But it's not intended as precise. And that's what I'm getting at, is that you can expect that there will be, let's be positive and call them refinements at the next step. And I think there should be. But I just throw that issue out about the entrance just for whatever it's worth for your consideration.
A considerable change would have to go back for an amendment, much like Poplar Ridge came back.
And this is... It's conceivable that that's something that could be that substantial if VDOT considers this to be an important issue.
Okay. I think that the applicant, when you brought that up about the one-lane road there, had would like to make a comment there. So, because I think that we'll let him make his comment, and then I'll go from there.
Okay. The width of that road, the minimum requirement is 18 feet for emergency vehicles.
It's 20 feet for emergency vehicles?
20 feet for emergency vehicles. I read 18 somewhere, but irregardless of that fact, we are planning a 20-foot wide roadway. That is about as wide as 618. So you've got a road that is big enough to turn around in. Of course, you'll be violating the one-way law if you try and go back out that way, but it's not a small road that will trap vehicles.
What about readily fixed? Even the dumb forester can see it's readily fixed by having a connector right there at the entrance where so you can continue to go around in one direction.
Certainly, and that's certainly be an appropriate way to fix it, as long as VDOT's all right with it. Right. I certainly don't claim any highway expertise.
What about secondary emergency vehicle access? Anything over 30 units is required to have a secondary access for emergency vehicles.
That will have to be taken up probably in a subsequent design. Yeah, VDOT did ask us to change it to one way.
Yeah, we had it going both ways.
Yeah, I'm not talking about one way. Usually there's a secondary access.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think originally there was entrance from both ends, right? Entrance and exit from both ends. And VDOT recommended that they made it a one-way road.
I mean, if you did put a connector between those two, if an emergency vehicle had to get in, couldn't get in one way, they could come in the exit. But here again, this probably needs to be taken up on a redesign.
It may be more appropriate further in the process.
I don't know. That gives me a little concern because that's a pretty basic issue.
Right.
And if you're talking about putting in a new entrance, even if it's an emergency entrance,
That would need VDOT's review.
I suspect VDOT would be interested in that.
Mm-hmm. And along those lines, too, once you get along the southern section of road past that entrance, it should be relatively easy to take something in because you don't have severe topography between the state road and where the subdivision road is planned.
Driving by it is very, very topographically challenging.
Well, it is in places, yes. I can show you where it is topographically challenging if you want to see that. But
is there any critical slope issues?
We do have a laser pointer up here.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay. Yep. I gotcha.
Okay. While you're doing that, didn't you change the entrance to more to the slope of the hill to solve some of the issues that VDOT was?
Yeah, there's the peak of the hill right there. There's the most challenging slopes right there. Along in this area, if you drive past, is not very challenging slopes, and there is an existing road actually that comes from Lake Monticello and goes here.
Mr. Stewart and Mr. Payne, maybe I need to ask y'all a question here. Say that they've gone to VDOT, and VDOT basically recommended one-way road would be better to comply with what they wanted to do. We're seeing issues about having to go back out in the highway to come back around. Would it be wise, and I may be out of turn of what I'm asking right now, and maybe asking at the wrong time, to maybe go back to the drawing board and work with VDOT and the planning department to iron out some of these issues, because if we're looking at this plan and we're approving this with something that could cause safety issues, and I would have been looking at it a positive point of view for the fact that they'd gone back and worked with VDOT to solve some of these issues. I'm kind of puzzled since I read the package and so forth about that and about the fact that they worked with VDOT and VDOT said that this one way was a good thing, and now tonight I'm learning that it's not a good thing. So
well, it's not so much that it's not a good thing, but I think the idea there's no internal circulation is a potential problem. It's sooner or later, somebody's going to forget a grocery list or whatever it might be.
Well, I thought about that originally, but then after VDOT, then I read the VDOT, thought that was a good idea, then I kind of put that out of my mind.
Well, no, so. I'm thinking in terms of what I think is Mr. Lagomarsino said, that if you simply put a, if you will, secondary connection between the north side and the south side at the entrance, that would take care of that. But that kind of thing, I don't know whether it's how you design that. The other thing I would be concerned about is this secondary entrance, because that's something that, that and frankly, the thing that's marked Louvana County use, which I think has been described as the sheriff's pull-off. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure BDOT's okay with that too, because now you're talking about introducing another element of side friction. And now it may be possible to combine those two. So you'd have a secondary emergency only entrance at that location.
I think at the last meeting, BDOT, Mr. Wood was here and was okay with that.
Well, but there isn't any secondary entrance.
No, I was talking about the pull-off.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is that it would seem to me that what you could do is simply combine the two and have the pull-off be consistent with a secondary entrance, which is, you know, marked and signed and all that kind of stuff is emergency use only. But I think it would be appropriate to, those are issues that probably ought to be worked out before you go much further with this. I don't know whether there are any others, but that's just things occur to me.
Okay.
If the applicants are finished, I will open the public hearing at this time.
Okay.
And we'll go back into discussion when we get further into this.
Just one last thing. I don't see any insurmountable obstacles here. And our stated purpose is to work with whoever we need to work with to ensure that we come up with the safest design that will meet the specifications that we need to meet. And we have to do that before this is approved.
Are you saying you want to defer this until that process has gone through?
I would, personally, I'd like to see us continue with the process. I don't see that the obstacles are going to be insurmountable. This is a needed item for the community. And I think that with this design, we're hitting on the two topics of providing affordable housing and affordable, higher quality food than people would get, and that would contribute to quality of life.
That has nothing to do with it. Well, we're concerned about the traffic situation
right
now. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Mm-hmm. All right.
Can I ask one question? Can we somehow seek approval for the stipulation that we provide a emergency entrance someplace at PDOT's recommendation for that?
I'm going to have to ask Mr. Payne.
You want me to answer that?
Yes, sir.
I don't think it's appropriate. Because the plan, because this is kind of a, this is sort of its own one-off zoning map. And you really should have the major features of it set out in here. And these entrance issues are, impressed me as pretty substantial. And I don't know that anybody in this room, except maybe Mr. Chambers, has the expertise to deal with these traffic issues the way VDOT would. So something the commission might think is very appropriate and very, very necessary, VDOT might think that they're inadequate or excessive or whatever it might be. I think it would be appropriate to have VDOT's comment on it before you dealt with it. I think it would end up, if those issues were resolved, it would make the rest of the process a lot smoother. I understand nobody ever wants deferrals. So I'm sympathetic to that.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. At this time, we will open the public hearing on the ZMP 1602. Anyone in the public wishing to come forward to speak on this issue, please come forward to the microphone, state your name and your address, please.
Hi, I'm Graham Murray with Collins Engineering. We're based out of Charlottesville, Virginia. I don't have a dog in this fight. I'm not going to take issue or support the plan, but just help bring clarity for it. I'm an engineer with many years' experience. VDOT won't actually review those roads. VDOT will only review the entrance because they're privately maintained roads from an HOA. So it seems like we're putting a lot of, weight on VDOT's decision on that, but VDOT actually won't even look at that. So, and again, I'm not taking issue or supporting the project. I just want everyone to know that when VDOT reviews the plans, they're only going to look at that entrance and a possible turn lane.
And the second entrance, I would assume. Any road.
That's more of an emergency. If it's an emergency access, you can have grass pavers going to the road, and VDOT wouldn't review that. That'd be more of a county.
Actually, the thing of it is, VDOT was working with them about this, and that's part of their that they thought that was a good idea. So that's, we got to solve that. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Anyone else from the public wishing to come forward at this time? State your name and your address.
My name is Patricia Eager. I live at 1107 Meacham Creek Drive, Troy. I just have a suggestion with the community garden. It seems that it's placed right at the very front where you're driving in. I've had a garden and been a farmer for over 30 years. Gardens don't tend to look neat and pretty. I would put it in the back just to, behind the houses. And that's just my 2 cents. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public wishing to come forward at this time? Please come forward, state your name and your address.
Yes, my name is Terry Collison. I live at Lake Monticello. I've been a resident since 1989, and my folks bought land in 1970. So I've been around here, and I've seen a lot of history that goes with this. Just a comment. And on the community garden, we do have access to community gardens at Pleasant Grove. Community gardens are lovely for maybe 2 months out of the year, if you're really lucky. Other than that, they're an eyesore. And to make that the beginning, the entryway is probably ill-advised. They're talking about trails. Access to locks, those are historic locks that were used in the time of Jefferson and his cohorts. They are not accessible to people. It is against the law to go and get on and around those locks. You can see them from the river, but they aren't things to go and play with or fool with. As I say, they are historic. There's a small play area for, quote, little kids. Where are the school-age kids to go? I would suggest that at least the older school-age kids, maybe, 6, 8 and above, what are they going to do? They're going to cross that busy highway and scamper up some bank along there to get into Lake Monticello. They're going to meet their friends and going to go to meet new friends. The bottom line on this is it is extraordinarily dangerous. I live on the top of that hill on the curve, and I hate to differ that there's a 900-foot sight line. I've been back and forth on that road many, many times, but since we had that earlier meeting, I've probably been over it 100 times. You cannot see well enough in either direction to be safe. Talking about kids, There are going to be busloads. I think there are probably going to be 8 buses going in and out. You have that. The children are going to different schools, so different buses come up and pick them up. That will be a nightmare, especially if you have to go out and around. Getting on that road on 600 is very difficult coming out of Riverside Drive. It's very difficult going down on the...
Your time is up. I'll give you another minute if you hurry up and get
to you. Okay. School buses, would you want to have your child on a school bus pulling out? I suggest that any of you go to that area. Just go up and down between 7 a.m. and 8:45 in the morning, or between about 4 o'clock and 6:30 in the evening. It is a nightmare. It is extremely dangerous. Extremely. I can turn right or left out of Riverside Drive and nearly get hit because cars fly up over that hill. And to say that police are going to be there, I've talked to Sheriff Hess. They only have a couple of deputies. Are they going to station one here at the top of that whole thing? I don't think so. Let me see.
Ma'am, I'm going to have to cut you off.
Okay.
You're going way over your time.
Okay. There are many, many problems with this. May I just say one last thing?
I gave you extra time.
Okay.
I would not want
my name or the authority that I carry on any of these documents because it's
Ma'am,
not
Ma'am, I'm asking
when,
you that you're finished, okay?
Yes. It's when the first death occurs, and it's going to fall back into the laps of people who approve this.
Do we have anyone else wishing to come forward to make a comment at this time? Seeing no one else coming forward, I will open it up to discussion for the Planning Commission. I came here tonight and I had looked at this plan and looked at the previous plan and looked like that they had tried to solve some of the issues that were mentioned before, but I see that there's new issues that have popped up tonight. So if there's no other discussion, does anybody have any other questions? If not, we have 3 choices if somebody wants to make a motion.
So I will go ahead and make the motion that the Planning Commission recommend that we defer this ZMP 1602 request rezone from A1 Agriculture General to R3 Residential Plan Community with respect to approximately 13.81 acres of Tax Map 18, Section A, Parcel 10. And I make that recommendation for deferral based on the fairly significant unanswered questions about the road itself and then the secondary access I think need to be addressed before we can really give this due consideration.
Okay.
September.
I have a motion by Mr. Zimmer to defer this action until the September Planning Commission meeting.
And you have a second.
I have a second from Mr. Gaines. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Thank you. We don't have any presentations tonight, but we do have one site development plan, SDP 1607, Jazan LLC.
Yes, sir. This is a request for sketch plan approval to construct an approximately 5,000 square foot building and site infrastructure. They're also requesting an exception to not construct a sidewalk. This is in relation to 1.7 73 acres of tax map 524-2. Parcel is zoned I-1 and located within the Zion CPA. This is phase one of three. This is for approval for phase one building as well as all site infrastructure. This is the location of the parcel. It's located on the south side of Zion Station Drive, approximately 300 feet east of the intersection with Route 250. The parcel is right here. This is the zoning. Again, zoned I-1. It's surrounded by A-1, B-1, and I-2 parcels. This is the sketch plan. The phase one building, 5,000 feet, is right here. And then this is a building for phase two, and structure for phase three. This is a view of the lot as it currently exists. Existing access is off of Zion Station Court. They do require a 50-foot setback between adjacent A1 zone parcels, as well as a 25-foot parking setback. The applicant is proposing to have 20 parking spaces. Again, the exception to not require a sidewalk. And they're doing this because the subdivision was developed prior to the ordinance, and none of the other developed lots have sidewalks. The applicant will ensure safe internal access of the site. The sketch plan appears to meet the requirements of the zoning ordinance, and any final site plan must comply with all aspects of our zoning ordinance and must be submitted for review. Staff recommends approval of the site development plan as well as the exception to not construct a sidewalk, subject to the conditions listed in the staff report. And I have two motions for the board, one for the site development plan itself and another one for the sidewalk waiver. If you have any questions, staff and the applicant are both available.
Do you have any questions? Did the applicant want to make any comments before we go into discussion?
I'm Graham Murray with Collins Jaren out of Garrett Street, Charlottesville, Virginia. Unfortunately, this isn't a rezoning, this is a by right, so it should be a little more straightforward. I think really the only, well, first off, I'm here to answer any questions anyone might have. I think the only thing that isn't clear cut and straight is the sidewalk. As Mr. Newman has stated, the reason why is because the sidewalks weren't required at the per the ordinance at the time it was subdivided. I'd also like to point out that this back in January of this year, another parcel within the same development was approved as far as an exception to not install the sidewalk. This development is in keeping with that parcel. And anyone not familiar with it, basically, there's various different owners out there. So installing a sidewalk out there, it's a roadside ditch. It's road. It's not a curb and gutter. So the location of the sidewalk would be pretty odd, not to mention it would be a very short, dissegmented sidewalk that really would lead to nowhere. So on top of it predating the ordinance amendment, it also just doesn't really make sense from a common sense standpoint. At least that's what I feel, and Planning Commission agreed back in January on. But I'm here to answer any questions anyone has.
Anybody have any questions for the applicant? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Do we need any discussion?
I don't.
Do we have a motion? This is a site plan, development plan. We do not hold a public hearing on site development plans. So I'd just like for you to know that. So. Do I have a motion?
I move to approve SDP 1607, a sketch plan to construct phase one of a three-phase project to construct approximately 5,000 square foot building and site infrastructure with respect to 1.73 acres of tax map 5, section 4, parcel 2, subject to the four conditions listed in the staff report.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Gaines for approval. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Johnson seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. There is no other business except for the final
sidewalk.
Oh, sorry. Do I have a motion to waive the sidewalk requirement?
I move to approve a sidewalk waiver to SDP 1607, a sketch plan to construct phase one of a three-phase project to construct an approximately 5,000 square foot building and a site infrastructure with respect to 1.73 acres of tax map 5, section 24, parcel 2, subject to the four conditions listed in the staff report.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Gaines. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Johnson seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. No subdivisions tonight, no unfinished business, no new business, and no old business. The last item before adjournment will be our second of two public comment sections. Anyone from the public wishing to come forward at this time to speak on any issue other than the issues that we have had tonight, please come forward to the microphone and state your name and address, please. Seeing no one coming forward, if there's no objection, we will adjourn. We are now adjourned at 9:11.